And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, 9:38 our time, the first day of July. It is a Friday, and the big story, of course, in the sporting world is conference realignment strikes again. It is a new game show. It could be a great documentary series, and Mark Johnson is here, the voice of Colorado Buffaloes, to talk about it. Mark, glad to have you on the program. Glad you're feeling better. I know you've been you're dealing with some stuff, of course, and a lot of people have over the last couple of years. And speaking of dealing with stuff, man, presidents, athletic directors, chancellors, athletes, fans, conference realignment strikes again yesterday.
Yeah, and the line I've been using the last couple of days and all the different interviews I've done is I'm surprised but not shocked. You could see this coming from a mile away. Now, did I see the specifics of USC and UCLA jumping to the Big Ten? No, I didn't see that. But, you know, wait, about a year ago, I was on a show. We were talking with some hosts for the Pac-12 Network. And when Mike Bone took over USC, there was conversation about how Mike Bone might be, at that point, in the most power position in college athletics. And I think that made some sense at that point in time. And I repeated that a number of times. You know, he was a former University of Colorado athletic director. He's a Boulder native. I know Mike very well. But Mike and USC, being at a blue blood football program like that and knowing where the Pac-12 was, I thought USC really sat in a unique position to kind of be one of the power brokers in college athletics. And by the way, right off the top, let me just say this. What we saw yesterday from a Pac-12 standpoint is the result of the utter failure of the former commissioner of the Pac-12 conference, Larry Scott, and the irony that yesterday he received his final payment to pay off his contract for the Pac-12 is really as rich can get, because what he did and the failure that he was as the athletic director, or the commissioner rather, I think is going to go down as one of the great failures in college athletics, and that's the result of his ineptness is why we're in this position right now. If he had done his job and the Pac-12 had had a position of strength and a position of power, this would never happen. So now, because he was unable to do his job and he failed miserably, which is why now George Kliakoff is the new athlete, or the new commissioner for the Pac-12, that's why they're sitting in this position. So it wasn't shocking. It was a little bit surprising, and it's not over yet. Wait, this thing's going to continue. I mean, this is not the end of this story. It's just another chapter of this story.
Pretty amazing. USC and UCLA broke a 94-year relationship with the Pac-12 just like that. And they were foundational rocks of the West Coast athletics scene, and now they're going to the Big Ten here in a few years. We talked a little bit about it before we had you on, but you might be able to go in a little bit more specifics. Why now for UCLA and USC?
Well, it's all about television contracts. And keep in mind, what we saw here was the genesis of it, and the impetus behind it was Fox Television. Okay, what you've got right now, ESPN has got that enormous deal with the SEC. Well, the SEC, as a result of that negotiation, as we well know by now, last year we found out that Oklahoma and Texas, two football blue bloods, are moving to the SEC. So Fox was trying to match that from a deal standpoint. This is going to be roughly a $1 billion television contract with the Big Ten. And so they're looking for more bang for their buck. Well, you bring in a blue blood like USC. UCLA has got phenomenal history as well. And so what that means for each one of those schools is it's going to be somewhere between $80 and $100 million per institution. Now, keep in mind, in the Pac-12 last year, I think each one of the schools got was a $35 to $40 million. So you're more than doubling your income for USC and UCLA. So I understand why they did it. And as we well know, I don't care if it's college athletics or the world of plumbing or the world of accounting, you always follow the dollar, right? It's always about the almighty dollar. And so that's what's happening here. But this is just going to kind of continue, I think, the seismic activity in college athletics. And where this ultimately goes, and I may have said this way on your show before, where this ultimately goes is just a breakup of the NCAA.
Yes.
That's been talked about for 25 years. And, you know, the top, whatever it is, 60, 70, 80 programs go and do their own thing and leave everybody else behind. And so this is just another step, I think, in that direction.
Yeah, you and I talked about it here a couple times when we've had you on over the last year or two about the seismic shift that's coming to college athletics, and this is just the latest quake that we are dealing with. What's the end game here? There's so much speculation. In fact, you know, a few years ago we were talking about, hey, there's going to be four conferences of 16 teams. One conference is going to dissolve, and a lot of people will put their betting dollar on the Big 12. The Big 12 is in a better position, obviously, now, at least so it seems, than the Pac-12. What's the end game here? Is it Is it 2, 3, 4 super conferences? Is it a 20-team conference where you have 2 10-team divisions? In essence, it's 2 Big 12s divisions that are playing round robins, and you fill in a couple other games, and then you have your own playoff and everything else. What's the end game here? What do you envision happening with college football? Because that's, of course, the driver of all of this.
Well, the end game, we use that term right now, and I think it's the end game with a pause, you know, where this probably goes at this point. And that's a great question. I mean, that's a $64,000 question right now. Where does it all go? And what? Well, I can tell you what's happening right now. And we saw, you know, I've been involved in this twice now. Well, when I was at Syracuse years ago, I was there when the shift was happening between the Big East and the ACC, okay? So I was part of that and kind of watched it happen. Then, of course, I was, you know, at Colorado here 11, 12 years ago, when there was all the shifting going on, and Nebraska went to the Big Ten, and Colorado went to the Pac-12, and there was all that movement. And so we're kind of seeing the same thing. So it's the same process right now. I guarantee you, in the last 36 hours, every athletic director of any major institution was on the phone trying to make itself look as attractive as it possibly could. And they're knocking on the door, probably of the Big Ten, saying, hey, look at me. I'd love to come to the dance, too. I comb my hair. I showered. I got a tie on. I look really good. I'd be a great partner to bring to the dance. And so that's what's going on from an individual institution standpoint. Then those same athletic directors and university presidents and chancellors, they're leaning on the conference commissioners. Now, the Big 12 or the Pac-12, we've got brand-new commissioners, of course, more so the Big 12 than the Pac-12. The George Klievkoff has been there for just about a year, but still they're new to the college athletic game. And so they're leaning on those two. And I do wonder, and again, it's all speculation right now, Wade. I mean, you look at Twitter right now, and you look at kind of the principles and covering college football, and, you know, there's wild speculation. I'm not sure there's a stupid idea, because I don't think anything's off the table. I saw Seth Greenberg, in fact, late last night, tweeted out, keep an eye on Kansas basketball, Texas Tech basketball, and Baylor basketball potentially having a relationship with the Pac-12. Now, he didn't say the athletic departments. He specifically said basketball. And so there's at least one major media member who is very tied in college athletics who's, for some reason, maybe there's some sources telling him, maybe it's just his reading the tea leaves, believing that you could see athletic departments then kind of split in terms of their conference allegiance. And so I think it's going to be fascinating. I wouldn't be shocked, and this is only my speculation, I wouldn't be shocked if the Big 12 and the Pac-12 begin to kind of glance at one another and say, hey, you know, maybe we could have some sort of merger here and make ourselves into a super conference. Now, if that were to happen, there are going to be some schools that are currently in those conferences that could be left out, but they could come together and create an awful impressive conference. And by the way, wait, while we're on the topic right now, when we're done with this interview, I'm going to have to grab my dictionary, because apparently I don't understand the word elite alliance the same way the commissioner of the Big Ten does. You know, they were supposed to have some sort of agreement that they were all going to work together and kind of battle the mighty and the, you know, the Darth Vader of college athletics, the SEC. And yesterday what the Big Ten said was, yeah, allegiance be damned. We're going to go and do what's best for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Johnson, the voice of Colorado Buffalo, is our guest today on the Sports Ticket. We're talking conference realignment. The news yesterday, of course, USC, UCLA going to join the Big Ten. You know, in regards to the fans, I think we lose out again, of course. There's no allegiance to rivalries anymore. It isn't about travel. And now, I mean, all this talk all those years, well, we can't have a full-fledged playoff because we've got bowl games. The Rose Bowl's a big thing. Well, USC and UCLA, I think, kind of imploded that, didn't they, when it comes to that?
Well, to some respect, yeah. And so think about that. You know, USC now becomes the team of the Big Ten with the most Rose Bowl victories. And you always think of the Rose Bowl, those of us of a certain age, of the Big Ten versus the Pac-10 historically, right?
Yeah.
And so now you got USC. And by the way, you know who I feel really bad for? How about the equipment truck driver from UCLA and USC when they play at Rutgers?
Yeah.
41-hour drive that they're going to take the equipment. They're going to leave on Monday, for goodness sakes, to get there for a Saturday game. So it's an odd marriage right now. And, yeah, the Rose Bowl becomes something that it's never been before. It does not have the same cachet that it did in terms of the history, and so that's lost. And to your point about the fans losing out, and that's always what bothers me, because now geography does not dictate conferences anymore.
No.
And tradition does not dictate conferences anymore. I mean, we well know this, and you're part of the country. You know, there are a lot of Nebraska fans around where you're at. In Colorado here, that was lost just over a decade ago, when you saw the split, you know, the Big 12 and Nebraska went to the Big Ten, and Colorado went to the Big 12, the Pac-12, rather. And now you're seeing similar kind of things. So the Rose Bowl tradition is being hurt because of this, and the rivalries are being destroyed. And, you know, really, is anybody really pining for the day that UCLA plays Rutgers, for goodness sakes, no. or Maryland? I mean, it doesn't hold the same you know, kind of historical significance that you know, other games would. And so, yeah, you lose something within that transaction, but that's part of the world, I guess, in which we live in right now.
All right, you're the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. What's next for Colorado?
Well, great question. And what you're hoping for in all of this, whether you're in Boulder, Colorado, you're, you know, down in Tempe, Arizona, is that you land in the right spot. And what I mean by that, you're on the right side of the fence, because if this thing does break and the NCAA does go away, you don't want to be on the other side of the fence getting left out where, you know, like a, maybe, you know, I don't mean to pick on anybody, but let's say a non-Power 5 school, you're left on the outside, and then what do you do? And so you're just hoping at this point. Now, what Colorado does bring a top 20 television market. It brings phenomenal history. It brings a national championship and a Heisman Trophy winner. And so there are many things about it that are attractive. That television market is extremely important because, again, going back to what we talked about a while ago, that's what's driving the lion's share of what we're seeing right now. And so there's importance in that. I think there's importance in maybe having some sort of tandem relationship, as they do already with the University of Utah, because Colorado and Utah, and Utah's got a phenomenal football program right now and been very successful. Those two schools bring something that virtually nobody else does in college athletics. They bring the entire Mountain Time Zone. And so I think CU is positioned in a good spot, but at this point, you know, I'm not a betting man. I'm not sure I bet on anything because it's a wild, wild west out there.
Yeah, absolutely. What's next for the Pac-12? I was reading there, you know, Oregon. Well, if the Pac-12 tries to somehow piece it together, grab a few members from another conference, say the Mountain West, you know, the Big 12 has added the best possible candidates after losing Oklahoma, Texas when they go to the SEC. Do you believe that's a viable option for the Pac-12 to piece this together, or do you think really that they're going to have to be some kind of merger for the Pac-12 to somewhat resemble what, not necessarily resemble what they were, but at least to stay intact?
Well, yeah, I think that's a great question. Now, you know, the other wild card in all of this is I don't think the Big Ten is done yet.
Yeah.
I think they're going to continue. Probably, if the Big Ten was still looking at the Pac-12 and wanted to create some sort of Western division, you know, what they would probably do, you look at probably the two most prime options out there are Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
Those are probably the two. And so you could see something like that still happening. If they wanted to go even further than where they are right now, you could see, like I said, maybe the Colorado-Utah circumstance. Stanford and Cal are sitting out there, and there's arguments for them. Now, there's not phenomenal support for Stanford and Cal in terms of butts in the seats when you go to those ball games. They do bring a television market, but, again, I don't know that college athletics is, you know, greatly consumed in the San Francisco Oakland Bay area, and so that plays into it kind of interestingly. Cal is in terrible financial straits right now. They've got just an awful financial situation that they're dealing with, and so there are a lot of things that are kind of interesting in that regard. And so I don't know. It's an unanswerable question right now. Like I said, nothing's off the table. Could I see some merging going on? Mm-hmm. Certainly I could. Could I see them looking and saying, where can we go out and poach a couple of other schools that make sense? You know, you hear fans all the time will bring up, well, you know, what about go get Boise? They're a great football program. Yeah, but they bring you nothing from a television standpoint. Yeah. There's no great, you know, population base in Idaho, for goodness sakes.
Yes.
And so they don't have that attractive appeal from that standpoint, despite the fact they've been a very good program for a long, long time. Some have suggested, you know, San Diego State. There you get Southern California, which is important from a recruiting standpoint, and have been a very solid football program for a long time. That's a possibility. So, really, it's totally wide open right now. And people much smarter than I am, making a whole lot more money than I am, are going to make those decisions. But, again, when it's all said and done and everything kind of settles down and everyone's got their dance card, you just got to make sure you're on the right side of the fence here. And I think that's the ultimate goal for everybody right now, whether it's in your part of the country, the Big 12, or out here in the Pac-12.
You mentioned Nebraska, and when they left the Big 12, Colorado left the Big 12, and there's no doubt Nebraska has many more Benjamins to count since they joined the Big 10. But certainly good friends of mine that live in Nebraska, and I lived in Nebraska for a couple of years. It's not even close to the same thing. Iowa-Nebraska is not the rivalry Nebraska-Oklahoma was, and others as well. But yet Nebraska, no matter how bad they are, and they are, we've established now that their football program is the sixth best sport on campus now. We've went through this. Because bowling's really good, volleyball's really good, and so forth and so on. But they still at least fill the stands. USC, UCLA, I've seen tons of pictures, and not attendance isn't great, and so forth and so on. Now USC, UCLA, are they going to play at 11 a.m. Central Time, you know, in Ann Arbor or in Columbus? How is that going to work? I'm sure they'll try to figure all that out. But when I'm looking at USC and UCLA, it's not like they're football powerhouses right now. And I know there's names and brands, as you established earlier, but I'm sure they're going to be happy, like you said, again, a lot more money, just like Nebraska. But what's that done for Nebraska athletically for football? Not gone well.
No, exactly right. And more money does not automatically dictate success.
Yes.
Right? Now, it might make things a little bit easier that you can pay your bills, but it does not dictate success. And, you know, you brought up some interesting things that I think are fascinating about this move for the schools out of Southern California. I don't mean to pick on Rutgers, but it's the furthest east school now in the Big Ten. And you're going to play a noon game in Piscataway, New Jersey, yeah, for USC? I mean, you think about that. That's, what, an 8 a.m. game? That'd be an 8 a.m. kickoff time in Southern California. So there are aspects about this that just don't make any sense. And that's why the whole geographical thing that we've just kind of thrown into the trash is really bothersome, right? Because it does affect college athletics in that regard. Now, with USC and Nebraska thing, here's where I differentiate between the two. I think Southern Cal is a blue blood, like Nebraska has been historically. I think they're a, with Lincoln Riley coming here as a coach, they're a sexy option from a, you know, youthful standpoint,
right,
from, you know, a 17, 18-year-old kid standpoint. I think they've got an opportunity to really blow this thing up, and I mean in a positive way from a USC standpoint. I do think it's going to help them in that regard. There are those who would tell you that USC staying in the Pac-12 and helping the league expand and grow was smarter because they had a better and an easier opportunity to get to the college football playoffs in the Pac-12 than they do in trying to fight Michigan and Ohio State and Michigan State and Penn State and on down the line of Wisconsin in the Big Ten. So there is that aspect of it as well. So I do think it's going to be fascinating to watch because this whole thing is hard to fathom logically because none of it makes sense in regards to what we traditionally think about college football and why it's been important. Right now it's all about chasing the dollar, and then everything else is secondary, and so it's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds ultimately.
Another factor we can put into this equation is, and we were talking about before we had you on the air, Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, talking conference realignment, is, you know, just a few years ago, it was, the Big 12 is the first to implode, and now the Pac-12 looks like, according to some on life support, whatever. But there's another conference that's almost always left out of the equation, it seems like. Well, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are the weak ones. The Big 10, the SEC are in strong positions. And there's a conference called the ACC. Clemson, Miami, Florida State are three pretty prominent brands, I would say, especially when it comes to football. If I'm in the ACC right now and I'm not Clemson, Miami, or Florida State, aren't I pretty worried as well about what might be happening next?
Oh, I think that, yes, everybody should be worried. I mean, this isn't just a Big 12 or Pac-12 issue,
yes,
right now. I think the SEC, the AAC, all these different conferences out there have got to be worried right now because when the shift happens, you're going to see everybody trying to grab the best of the other to take away. I could really see with the three ACC programs. Couldn't you see the SEC going and poaching them?
Yes.
And growing and trying to get to a 20 conference league.
Yeah.
You could definitely see that. I think that would be a fascinating aspect of this. And so I think if you're not right now locked in to the Big Ten or the SEC, you better be looking over your shoulder right now because nothing is impossible at this point.
leadership is so important. You mentioned the lack of leadership with the previous commissioner of the Pac-12. And, of course, Big 12's had issues with their leadership, going back to Beebe, and then Bowlesby in some ways was better, in some ways not. He didn't even see Texas Oklahoma leaving, and it kind of was just shocked him, which is not great leadership in my opinion. But now the Big 12, you mentioned you got a new commissioner. He's only been there for about a year. The Big 12 has a new commissioner. It starts on August 1st and was outside the box guy that they hired, and Brett Yormark. What kind of factor is that in regards to moving forward for these conferences with guys that are a little bit, well, obviously Yormark is completely in a different stratosphere, although he knows the entertainment side. He also knows working with professional franchises, with the Nets and so forth and so on. Everybody's got their strengths. But what about the fact that there's, it seems like there's more stability at the very top for, say, the Big Ten and the SEC?
Well it's fascinating right now, and it could be very dangerous. You're talking about Kliavkoff, and then, of course, Brett Yormark comes in for the Big 12. These are guys that are creative minds, and they understand marketing, and they understand promotion, and they understand all these different things, but do they really understand college athletics? I think this is one hell of a baptism for both of them to kind of jump in the middle of this. Not that they can't, because they're both very smart guys, and make no mistake about that. But there are times you don't know what you don't know, and so, you know, it's not the best of circumstances to jump into one of these positions and, you know, have maybe a year or two to kind of understand the groundworks and the inner workings of that specific, you know, business in which you're in. And so, yeah, I kind of feel bad for those two guys because they're jumping right into the middle of the fire at this point, and it is all hands on deck, and, you know, the warning sirens going off because, you know, you're in danger right now. And so both of them have got their hands full. And, in fact, I'm wondering, you might talk about Brett Yormark, you know, supposed to start on August 1. I guarantee you he's working right now.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
Because he has to be. Yes. He has to be. These institutions understand that. Because right now is within, I think you can probably say, for these two conferences, right now is the most important time for their existence for either of them at this point because of where this could go. And who is the power player in this situation right now? Is it the Pac-12 or is it the Big 12? Both of them are scrambling a little bit. I think conventional wisdom says probably the Big 12 is in a better position than what the Pac-12 is because of the additions of BYU and Cincinnati and UCF and Houston. They bring in some nice television markets there outside of BYU. But I think anything's up for grabs right now, and that's why both of these guys, I guarantee, are they're not getting a whole lot of sleep this week. I guarantee you that.
Now, Kansas Jayhawk fans want to say, hey, we won national championship basketball, and they're saying this before they won a national title this past year, that, hey, we have a tradition. We're a blue blood when it comes to basketball. We should be somewhat attractive. And I've got various people that tell me if the Big Ten offered KU, they'd grab it so fast it'd make your head spin. And then all of a sudden the Big 12 loses not only Texas, Oklahoma brand names in football, but then they lose their other brand, which is KU in basketball, which leads me to the question, and hopefully KU fans are listening to this because I'm very interested and what you have to say about it. Some people believe basketball has a part of the equation here, maybe bigger than some people think. Other people think basketball really doesn't mean jack squat in this equation. How do you decide on that one?
It's important to a point, okay? And I say that for this reason, because everybody knows the driving force in college athletics is always football. That's the money-generating force in college athletics. Yes, basketball is nice. Yes, Kansas basketball takes a backseat to nobody, but that's not the engine that drives college athletics. Now, I'm sure when you look at the KU budget, the Jayhawks basketball program under Bill Self generates enormous amounts of money, and good for them, but not compared to football overall, not necessarily the KU football program independently, but what it generates from a contract standpoint. You know, the NCAA tournament contract with CBS is a $1 billion deal. They're talking about a $1 billion football contract in the Big Ten. Don't ever be mistaken by that. Don't be swayed. I was at Syracuse, similar situation. Phenomenal blue blood basketball program. Football has always been kind of secondary, and, you know, everybody understood that. Keep in mind, basketball is great, but football always drives the bus, and everyone's got to remember that. That's probably why, as spectacular as KU's resume is basketball from a basketball standpoint, nobody's ever really come calling to steal them away because the football has never been nearly as good as the basketball. And that's just a reality of college athletics.
And then, of course, we haven't even mentioned Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a big wild card in this thing, too, because that's honestly, the best one available football-wise after USC and UCLA leaving. Would they be, you know, ACC doesn't look to be that appealing. There's a story from, I think, The Athletic saying the belief among several ACC schools is that the conference is beyond saving, even if Notre Dame were to join for football. Several ACC schools have been studying the grant of rights in the hopes of a legal workaround to minimize the cost of leaving. So it is, like you said, it's a seismic shift, and everybody's scrambling, in some cases maybe even panicking. But how does Notre Dame impact, say, other schools that are looking for a spot in musical chairs?
Here's my guess with Notre Dame. Notre Dame is kind of an entity unto itself. They've got their NBC television contract and make fantastic money individually with that. My guess is they've always fought it, because remember, at one point the Big East tried hard to get them to join the Big East from a football standpoint. They were there in basketball. The ACC has done the same thing. The Big Ten has had conversations over the – I think virtually everybody outside of probably the Pac-12 has had a conversation with Notre Dame at one point, and they've always really kind of stiff-armed that concept. I don't foresee them jumping into bed with anybody. I think they really kind of like their independent view, that they're the only one on the block that can do their own thing and remain viable, and that they've done so at a very high level and a very successful level. And so I don't see that changing. If they ever did, that alters the landscape of everything again. They're the one program in the country that can do it from an independent standpoint, unlike anybody else. Yes, BYU has been an independent. UConn has been an independent. There are schools that do that, but nothing like Notre Dame does that. You know, there have been some whispers I just saw last night, and again, all these different possibilities being thrown out, where Kansas, you know, joins the Pac-12 or somebody, or the Big East as a basketball school, and then goes independent with football. And so, you know, those possibilities remain, but nobody will ever be Notre Dame from a football standpoint and would have the cachet and the gravitas to stand on their own the way Notre Dame does. And I can't imagine they're going to relinquish that anytime soon.
All right, two more for Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. I guess today on Sports Ticket, before we get to the off-the-wall question, what school of the remaining schools in the Pac-12 are most likely or maybe most scared or worried of being left out of this musical chair contest, as I call it?
Left out? Yeah. Washington State, Oregon State. I think those are probably the two that come to mind immediately, because I think the most attractive ones I mentioned are Oregon and Oregon State. So those two up there, I think, are terribly concerned about that. The Cal-Stanford thing is interesting because of where they are and the lack of support they have in regards to butts in the seats and the lack of interest in the Bay Area. I put them in kind of another category. And then I think Colorado and Utah are concerned about that, you know. And probably Colorado, Utah, and Arizona State. I think they're probably in that third category out there right now. That's just my assessment. But I do think they're very attractive for many respects that we just talked about. Mountain time zone, Colorado with Denver being a top 20 television market, Phoenix also a very good television market. So I think there's going to be options for them out there, but they'd be in that third group. And of course, then you get to the Oregon-Washington situation. But I think, yeah, probably Washington State and Oregon State right now are sitting on pins and needles. Let's put it that way.
I know this is an impossible question to answer, but you're a very smart guy, so I'm going to ask you anyway. Put your crystal ball in front of you. Do your magical words, whatever. Where does Colorado end up ultimately?
My guess is the Pac-12 salvages something here, and I think that's contingent upon Oregon and Washington remaining. If they leave, then all bets are off. My thought would be the first option that the Pac-12 would pursue is to salvage itself, constituted with the schools that it currently has outside of USC and UCLA, that they're gone, and then you're adding somebody to the equation. If Oregon and Washington jump, then I think all bets are off in that regard, and then I start wondering about if you know, Yorkman and Kliavkov are kind of looking at one another saying, hey, we got to help each other here because we got to survive. And then I start to wonder if the Pac-12 and Big 12 don't start looking at each other. And, you know, I think right now the power player of those two would probably be the Big 12. I think they're a little bit better position than Pac-12 is right now. But I think that's potentially where this thing could go. And maybe the Big 12 starts plucking a few teams or poaching a few teams from the Pac-12. So those are my two most likely scenarios. And again, I say that without a great deal of confidence. I'm just kind of thinking of logically where it seems it might go, and so that's my best guess.
Logic? That applies to all this? That is insane, Mark. Why would you say something so controversial
I know. Yeah, because, again, it's all money. It's all about money and survival right now, and everyone's – this is like Mad Max right now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the wild, wild west. Everyone's trying to figure out where they're going to end up to survive.
Speaking of money, happy Bobby Bonilla Day, Mark.
Boy, is that the greatest contract of all time or what?
Yes. 59-year-old Bobby Bonilla will collect a check for $1.19 million from the New York Mets today, like he has and will every July 1st until 2035. So he has another 13 checks coming. So
that is amazing. And I've always wondered, you know, you hear these circumstances. I mean, I mentioned earlier about Larry Scott getting his final payment today. And we know about coaches who have failed miserably, but for the next 5, 6, 7 years, they get, you know, $1 million or $2 million check on some certain date every year. I've always, why can't I fail miserably someplace and get that kind of money to go away? I've always wanted to fail terribly and be paid $15 million just to go away.
Why don't we have, what happened to us as radio people? Should we have this gigantic buyout when we suck at what we do? We get this huge paycheck. I mean, I'm in the wrong business.
Well, wait, here's the problem. Being radio guys like we are, our paycheck every July 1st to go away would be not $1.9 million, but maybe $1.90.
Yes.
That's about what we'd be worth to ask to go away. That's the difference between the coaching world or Major League Baseball or professional athletes and radio guys like you and me.
No doubt. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, something a little bit different. Your name is Mark Johnson. I don't know why I got onto this, but I think I saw New Kids on the Block was going to be doing a concert. Mark Wahlberg, of course, a member of New Kids on the Block. My sister loved New Kids on the Block, had posters and replayed the same video on a VHS over and over. For young people, VHS is, forget it, you're not going to know. So what's the best nickname you've had for yourself? There's Marky Mark and the Fun Bunch. Mark Wahlberg was New Kids on the Block, but he was called Marky Mark and the Fun Bunch, or Funky Bunch, I should say. What's the best nickname you've heard for yourself or maybe a friend of yours?
Well, you know, for years, when I first got on the radio, fresh out of when I was playing college basketball, I was done, got into radio, always wanted to get into sports. But took the first radio job I could get, and so for a number of years during my long-haired maggot-infested disc jockey years, I was Magic Mark. So that was always my
Magic
my
Mark.
Magic Mark. For many years, I was Magic Mark.
Well, isn't that the sequel to Magic Mike? Is Magic Mark? Isn't
that
coming to theaters soon?
Deal.
Is it
yeah.
coming to theaters soon? They already talked to you, haven't they?
There was no stripping going on. I guarantee you that. But I did have. I did have a phenomenal long curly mullet that I wore, kind of like maybe some of the Magic Mike guys. But, yeah, Magic Mark never dipped into the same pool those guys did.
Not only does Mark Johnson have a face for radio, he also has the body for radio is what he's trying to tell me.
I like
it.
Right.
I love it. Hey, man, thanks for the time on short notice. It is a fascinating thing, conference realignment. Have no idea where it's actually going to go. And anybody that says that they think they know exactly what's going to happen, I think we're all probably fooling ourselves. And I'm sure you and I will be talking about this topic again somewhere down the road. Thanks again, my friend, and have a safe and happy 4th of July weekend.
You do the same, and I'll look forward to next time.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, I guess, stay on the ticket.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.